This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Catch things you missed.
Get yours today.
WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1, a radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? Back to work after a nice vacation. Now it's Carl's turn to have some time off. It's a Mike Bell with our buddy Willie Pete today. We'd like to start the show with a big hearty, hey man. There you go. Try to sync it up throughout the week. Willie did a great job last week, and he's in today. And Willie, I was looking forward to getting back to work. So much to talk about. And then over the weekend, it's mostly bad news.
I tell you what, man. When I got these assignments to fill in for both you and Carl like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was stoked, you know. We were in such a different time, you know, we were starting to go back to restaurants and do a whole bunch of stuff. And then, you know, ever since then, the Rona has kind of peaked its ugly head again. And we have all these depressing stories to talk about.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it. By now, you heard Andy and Randy discussing, you know, what's going on with the Braves. And it's just frustrating because, you know, a guy like, you know, it's a guy like Nick Markakis, as Brian Snicker talked about to the media, is a glue guy. You know, he's a guy that, you know, is a veteran presence in that clubhouse. And, you know, again, although we missed some time when he came back, he was, you know, on point up until, of course, you know, the NLDS against the Cards. But, yeah, you hate to hear about that with Markakis. I hate even worse to hear, see, Willie, fans out there on social media killing these athletes that are tapping out. I mean, the Freddie Freeman thing. Now, again, there's varying degrees of COVID-19. And as I'll say, as Carl and I say every week, Willie, when we discuss this, we read the same things you guys read. We're not trying to pretend to be medical experts. Just going with what we know is as much as you guys know. But there are varying degrees. There's people that have had, you know, minor cases like the Saints coach Sean Payton. And you've got what Freddie Freeman described. It's been a real grind. So, I mean, if you're a guy like Markakis, and he said there was a couple of things. You know, he's got kids. It was an eye-opener when he heard about Freddie. And he also said playing without fans, that's not real baseball to him. But he's earned the right as a veteran who's banked millions of dollars. And the other thing, Will, if you don't feel, you know, whatever the risks are, if you feel that they can't be mitigated, and let's be honest, throughout the first week now, we're seeing that Major League Baseball is not exactly mitigating the risk. They can't even get the testing right.
Yeah, I'll relate this to something that I'm sure a lot of people are kind of going through in their own lives now, Mike, and you know, I can't really get on anybody who's making those decisions, whether they be financial, whether they be for the safety of them and their families. Like, that's all something people have to come to grips with personally. And I've always said that the biggest challenge of getting sports back was going to be everybody's kind of personal internal stomach when it comes to, you know, seeing potential positive tests come out. And you see Freeman get the positive test, and I'm sure it had Nick Markakis feeling some kind of way. And you could say the same thing about Felix Hernandez, who opted out over the weekend. Again, we don't necessarily know about Felix's personal convictions yet because he hasn't spoken to the media about it, but Nick earlier today said Freddie's particular testing positive hurt him. And, you know, it just comes down to some of the stuff we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. Like, I would have a hard time signing a waiver going to a game, because if I'm signing a waiver, then you're admitting to me that you don't think that you can secure this place and make it be safe. And that's something that I have a personal hard time with. And I feel like you and I, too, have kind of been in concert with the way that we felt about this virus. I think both you and I early on were very spooked about it. And right. Then we kind of start getting back into things after a little bit of time, and you thought things were going to be okay. And then now with this latest little spike, I think you and I are both kind of looking at it and being like, well, what are we supposed to believe?
And that's just it. I mean, and you touched on it. Carl and I, we've gone through like this kind of roller coaster. Matter of fact, I just spent a week, and we'll talk more about my shenanigans on Guy Talk, but I spent a week reconnecting with some old friends, and I spent time with my wife's family. I got great in-laws up in Pennsylvania, and the conversation, obviously, you know, over barbecue or whatever we're doing, came up to where, you know, the state of the world is today and what we're doing. And I think that, you know, you look at, you know, the fear factor. And again, I don't know if I had it. I had something back in October. There's reports out there, and some medical people would say this thing's been around as early as October, November. I went to the Formula One race in Texas, and I came back with a respiratory infection, and they diagnosed me with asthma. So I don't know. I'm still waiting to get my test, and that's coming up this week. But I've been asymptomatic. That's the thing that's so frustrating, because you hear about, well, you can be asymptomatic and yet you may not pass it, or you could pass it along. And so the bottom line is, we got to wear masks. We got to bite the bullet. We got to do all the stuff that you argued about not doing, right, about 2 months ago. I think we're all there. And then I think, and you and I were talking about this morning off the air as we're getting prepared for the show, is we love sports and we can't live without sports. That's why you guys that are listening right now, you're listening to our show because you love sports. But I do think that we're starting to realize now, with all these things that are happening, either by the start of football season, everybody in America will have had exposure to this, and then maybe that'll be another threshold that crosses over and we can get on with it, or there'll be a vaccine, which just seems to be the one thing which everyone agrees with, then, you know, we can really get on with our lives. Or if things continue to kind of pinball and the numbers, especially for younger people, as the test, you know, more testing, more younger people getting it, college football seems like, I'm not saying it's a pipe dream, but it really seems like a tough road to hoe along with the NFL.
And I was even talking to somebody back in my old home in South Carolina earlier today, and, you know, he just doesn't see how logically they could do, you know, their high school football without fans because of how much revenue the high school league there generates when it comes to fans in the stands. And I think the same thing could be said for us here in Georgia. And the other part of this, too, that I don't really understand, there's two things I don't understand. The people who try to turn and make it all about politics, which we're not going to do. I think you and I both are in concert on that. But the other thing, too, that I also don't get is how you see other leagues seem to have figured it out. Like, the Premier League had its tests come back today, its latest round of tests come back, and they had zero positives in 1,927 tests. And,
right,
you know, we still have the Korean Baseball League playing. They have fans now in the stands. So it's not an impossibility to figure this out. You know, NASCAR has gotten by with very few positive tests, if any. There have been a couple on the PGA Tour. And we knew that there were going to be positives when it came into Major League Baseball and the NBA and MLS and all these teams coming back to play. But at the same time, it's like there are some people who are doing it right and others who aren't. And it's just going to get down to everyone's kind of personal responsibility and their ability to try and make sure they handle these quarantine-type situations.
And that's just it. I mean, we talked about baseball to start the show because Markakis, for those who didn't hear about it, obviously we're going to talk more about it in the headlines, but four Braves players, including Tukey Toussaint, and you heard about Freddie Freeman is dealing with, and then Felix Hernandez. It's a shame because Felix looked great in spring training. It was a small sample size, but, I mean, he would be mixing up speeds. He's not going to be the old Felix, King Felix of the old days, as Andy Bunker, who grew up a Mariners fan, talked about today. But it's a bummer because it looked like everything was going the right way, and at this point, again, he's banked his coin. He doesn't have to do this because, and this is something I was arguing with some folks today on, I'm shocking, arguing on Twitter, but talking about this, you cannot trust baseball to do the right thing. you're seeing it. You know, the Nationals general manager just talked about it. The A's have had a problem with their test. They're not doing what they told you they were going to do, and they're going to have a season opener tonight. They're going to announce the schedule. Okay, good luck with that. It just seems to me, and again, this is an argument, if you believe everything you're fed, you're a sucker. Okay, but if you believe that Major League Baseball can back up what they said they were going to do when you saw how badly the negotiations went down, and just real quick, I know I'm not going to try to rehash everything I missed in my week off, Will.
Oh, believe me, you missed a lot.
But I know that you, I will say this, I know you and Carl talked about it, but just real quick, Rob Manfred, what the are you doing? Right. Okay, if you want to say, look, well, he's really being open and honest. Yeah, open and honest that he negotiated in bad faith and tell Dan Patrick's listeners what the hell that was about. I mean, that made no sense to me. All we're just lining up for is going to be more nastiness next year when they have to come up with the next CBA. So you got a commissioner who's a schnook. You've got Major League Baseball that can't get out of their own way. They cannot execute the test properly like they said they were going to across the board. Some players have come out and said, look, I was tested on Tuesday and I wasn't tested again until Saturday. So that's the thing. So if you now you insert yourself into this and, again, take your life out of it. Take the reality, Will, the unreality of the professional athlete. You know, if you're a veteran, you've earned the right to say, you know what, I just think this is a little squirrely. This isn't for me. And then, hey, you want to kill him because, you know, he's playing a kid's game, getting paid millions of dollars. You're injecting your own personal situation into that guy's life. You don't live that guy's life. He's blessed. He can do things that you couldn't do, and he's earned the right now to tap out, and that's what they're doing.
And I also feel like you're seeing something kind of a similar deal with all the guys who are opting out. And I felt like while you were off, Mike, Carl and I believe it was Harry Douglas, it was either Carl and Harry Douglas or Carl and Nick had a conversation with Kenny Smith at NBA on TNT. And they were talking with him, and they asked him the question on the way out, you know, would you opt out or would you play? And he said, you know, if I was in my early 20s, of course I'd be playing. I didn't have a family then. I didn't have all these other responsibilities, and all he wanted to do was play. But if you got to a point when you were in your 30s with a family and other responsibilities and have accrued some sort of accolades and money and all those kinds of things, the decision's a little bit different. So you're seeing guys who kind of already made their money, the Felixes, the Nick Markakises, and again, this comes down to why the Major League Baseball players were arguing so much, because if it was going to come down to it, the risk of involving yourself in a baseball season and the things that could possibly happen long-term with this virus to certain people, it's not worth that risk for the reward. Again, it's a reward that's more than you and I would make, but at the same time, a lot of those things enter into those guys' minds that wouldn't enter into the minds of you and me.
So we'll talk about it. Will touched on it earlier, the English Premier League. I think the first example was set by the Bundesliga, which is always fun to say, but the German Professional Soccer League. And we joked around. I mean, partly tongue-in-cheek, but it is what it is. The Germans, they do what they're told. They follow orders, and they maintain discipline. And they have, and you're seeing it. And now the English Premier League has been able to execute things. Now, can MLS do the same thing? I don't know. Is Commissioner Garber and his guys up to doing the same level that we've seen from the English Premier League and the German League? We're going to find out because we get soccer in a couple of days. At first, I thought this was going to be Mickey Mouse. Can't wait to see it. We'll talk also, and I'll get Will's take about some of the moves that Atlanta United made over the week. But, there are things that are happening. You could argue the smaller, the less moving parts, it should be easier. In the NBA, the same thing, though. I mean, living in a bubble, it's a lifestyle adjustment, and these guys are the ultimate. If again, you're the 0.0001%. You're taller than everybody. You can do things more athletically, and you also have earned the right to say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And then it's up if the fans want to sit there and pout about it, that's their prerogative. We'll still have other guys to play. It's like Doritos. We'll make more. There will still be someone to play these games.
The bubble thing was always kind of fascinating to me, and I was even talking about this with Squidbilly earlier today. I'm still not 100% convinced that the psychological aspects behind importing a bubble, I don't know if those necessarily are the best in terms of just efficiency, because of the fact that you have certain guys who are going to be affected and try to do workarounds to being quarantined and holed up in a pandemic. We've seen guys and heard from guys like Kemba Walker who said, yeah, you know, I'm going to go to practice, I'm going to go to my room, I'm going to go to a game, go to my room, go to a game, go to my room.
Right.
Those aren't necessarily the thoughts of everybody. They're going to be people who, you know, feel like they're being holed up and they'll try to look for some workarounds to compromise the bubble. I almost feel like, and I didn't always feel this way, I feel like baseball is kind of doing it a lot better. When you heard Alex Anthopoulos talk a couple of weeks ago, he's like, yeah, we're going to kind of let our players, you know, do what they want as far as be with their families and live in their places. We're not going to put them in one single hotel except when they're on the road. But as far as that goes, it comes down to personal responsibility and guys policing themselves.
Well, we'll talk all about it, guys. We'll get your take as well. You always can hit us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. Will has the access. I don't have it today, but at 404-741-0929, see what you think. We'll talk about it, man. I mean, the reality of maybe, you know, not getting all the things as advertised just because of where we're going with COVID-19. Will and I, Will laid it out, man. We've been glass half full, but, you know, the realities are out there, which there's some things we might not be able to do this summer and fall. Also, Will, we'll get into the Redskins thing because, you knew that was coming. That's really hitting the fan up in D.C. And also, how it reflects on the Braves, you know, with the Native American culture, and what do you say about the tomahawk chop and the name? We'll carve all that up and more today with you as Willie P style, everybody. Fill it in for Carl. And we got lots of stuff. I got all sorts of road trip stuff, a lot of pictures you saw from Mike Bell ATL getting abused by my father-in-law all week. Will, it's all coming up. Dukes and Bell with Willie P right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Dukes and Bell, Willie P in for Carl. Mike back from vacation. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, as well as the radio.com app. Do you ever get away from the blistering heat, Mike, with the vacation? Because I know it was hot here in Atlanta.
No, it was really steamy. But we were up in Asheville, North Carolina, and I know that Andy Bunker's got relatives up in Western Carolina, up in the mountains. And I'm always a beach guy. And this was the week that we normally, the last 2 years, me and a bunch of buddies, we get a house down at Key West, and the wives will have a great time. We all go fishing. It's just, you know, I love, you know, anybody who's been down to Key West, it's inexpensive. You know, you pack three pairs of shorts and three T-shirts, you're good for the week. And but that went out the window with COVID-19. So we just basically did like the Griswolds, but instead of the family truckster, I got in the Corvette. And we just barreled up. But yeah, man, Asheville was great. Although because of how North Carolina, I can tell people that are traveling because I gave the tips on Savannah, you know, before Memorial Day. But and obviously that things have changed down there as far as masks and how they're doing business. But Asheville was kind of like all your favorite restaurants weren't exactly open, or it was takeout only. And the hotel, which is great, the Grove Park Inn, it was so weird to see. It's one of the best views in the mountains. You got all of the valley and the mountains in Asheville. And of course, you got plexiglass set up. You can't sit at the bar. You got to put the mask on. And they were serious about wearing the masks in the hotel. That was no joke. So, I mean, that's just, you got to pivot. I mean, you can sit there and be an angry Karen, you know, or you can just get on with life and deal with it. So we did it. But no, we had a great time. Thanks for asking. And just real quick, before we get to the headlines, went up to Gettysburg. I posted a lot of the photos up there. I hadn't done that since I was a kid. And we had a blast. And I rented this little jalopy, a little golf cart that looks like a Model T. And we rode all over Gettysburg, the battlefield, did the auto tour. And it was just bananas. And there were some thoughts that the Antifa pukes were going to get up there and start messing with stuff, both Union and Confederate. And there was about 2,000 Hells Angels and bikers or whatever that were going to make sure that was never going to happen up there. So whether that was all hype or not, it never happened. But it was just fun to be out there in the country. And then long answer to a short question, yes, in Pennsylvania, it was like 90 degrees every day. We're sweating gravy playing golf. But my wife's uncle's got a pool. And you could tell by the end of the week, we were totally wearing out our welcome. You know,
it's like,
hey, can I get you another case of Michelob? That's what he drinks.
Both getting a ration of grief this weekend because you were dealing with your in-laws. I was dealing with the Zoom birthday party for my mother. She had a milestone birthday this weekend. Mm. And they basically, my father and sister Zoomed a whole bunch of people, everybody in our family. My sister went down. And I'm going to get to hear for at least the next, you know, 15 to 20 years, Lord willing, my mother stays alive that long, that I wasn't at her 70th birthday party and everybody else was because I was on the air. So there you go. So you and I were both in the same boat this weekend.
Right. And for those who don't know, my father-in-law is like Sergeant Hulka. He really does. He sounds like, and for younger kids, Stripes was a movie with Bill Murray as a slacker who joins the Army ill-advised. And Sergeant Hulka is a great character actor, Warren Oates, that was in The Wild Bunch. Yeah. And he's the one that's like, welcome to Italy, man. So that's what my father-in-law is. And so for those who know, it's not that I don't like to grill. It's just I'm not that good at it. Not like Mike Conti or Carl or Squidbilly. So whenever I get around to grill, usually it's a mild disaster. So the father-in-law is like, get your ass off that grill. I'm cooking them steaks. So that was how the weekend went.
Did you go back to the future a little bit with your old radio stomping grounds? Because I know you passed through.
Man. I was in Bluefield, West by God, Virginia. And I'll save the story for Guy Talk. But let's just say that an old friend of mine I hadn't seen in 28 years. And by the time we left, this kid was like a boneless chicken. He was throwing up. He was a hot mess. His wife goes, he needed to unwind, but that was a bit extreme. So they're calling it Hurricane Mike and Hurricane Becky as we rolled in. Because I looked at Becky, I go, are we like X-Men? Do we have like a third kidney and a second liver that we could do this? Are we functioning alcohol? Whatever it is, we could handle it. But it was a great time. Anyway, we'll get dive into all the details. But right now, as Carl would say, let's try it, Will. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by the fine folks at Harley-Davidson who want to help you learn how to ride a motorcycle at hdpersonalcoachfinder.com. Set up a private one-on-one lesson today. Four players over the weekend from the Atlanta Braves, including Freddie Freeman, test positive for COVID-19. Freeman has symptoms, as does Pete Cosma, who was in the satellite camp in Gwinnett. Tuki Toussaint does not have the symptoms, so that's at least encouraging, as does Will Smith. But all four are now quarantined. Here's manager Brian Snitker talking about the positive tests.
We have had players test positive for COVID. We have two players that are asymptomatic. They aren't at the workouts because they tested positive. That's Will Smith and Tuki Toussaint. We had two other players that tested positive that are showing symptoms. Pete Cosma is in the Gwinnett group. He did have the fever and wasn't feeling too good. But he's said this morning that he's feeling better. Again, you know, there's protocol that you go through before we can get him on the field. And the last one's Freddie Freeman. Freddie tested positive for the COVID. He has run in the fever. I talked to him this morning. He's still not feeling great. I mean, so it'll be a while before we can get him back.
That is a little bit from Brian Snitker. And, you know, Mike, adding to that, the whole Felix Hernandez thing and also no Nick Markakis, right. This is a blow for the Braves.
Well, Markakis is a guy that, and again, I even saw some folks today on Twitter go, well, that's great. Let's move on. We want to move on from him anyway. Well, great. Thanks for the great warm and fuzzies for Nick Markakis and the other
right?
Pache or Waters and. You know, we do have some versatility provided Austin Riley can rake. If Austin Riley gets into one of those bad slumps that he did after starting, like, hitting the cover off the ball, then we're going to be in trouble. Who knows? I mean, you might want to pivot because we thought with Markakis and Duvall and all the flexibility we'd have with designated hitter, you know, you may see. Remember, the trade deadline is like a month into the season because we only got 2 months of the season. So, and if you heard the conversation we had with Alex Anthopoulos a couple days back, he didn't rule out making moves, so we'll see. A lot of teams may have to scramble because I don't know. I mean, look, Mike Trout is thinking about not playing, okay? There's other guys out there who might bail, and we'll see.
It was another weekend that involved the weather, unfortunately, for the folks at NASCAR, but Kevin Harvick conquers the Brickyard.
Kevin Harvick will survive and become a three-time winner of the Brickyard 400 here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, bettering a late race charge from Matt Kenseth.
Not going to lie to you, didn't watch the whole thing, but I did see a little bit of it, especially the restart there at the end. And you know about that racetrack, Mike, the ability to pass, especially when you don't have that banking, it's a lot different than some of these other tracks that NASCAR goes to.
Yeah, it was a great idea back in 94, and I went to one of the first two or three races up there and to see Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt win. And I think Rick Mast was on the pole in the one car. Squidbilly would know for that one, but back in the day. It's a boring race for NASCAR. It's just
right.
A boring race for stock cars. You touched on it. When cars have got, you know, bigger tires and smaller bodies and they can do, 230 miles an hour in the turn, that's one thing. But these are heavy cars and you just laid it out. It's just not the same kind of race. Was a scary moment if you didn't see it. One of Ryan Blaney's pit crew members gets hit. I mean, he literally gets squished when Brendan Poole's car swerves right into the pit stop and he gets nailed between the car. He's literally crawling behind the car to get back over the pit wall. They took him to the hospital. Paramedics got him patched up and apparently he's going to be okay. But Harvick, I think Harvick's going to win the championship. He certainly deserves to. If this was a year where, you know, if you want to have a sort of handicap right now where we're going, I think Harvick definitely got the juice. We saw him win in Atlanta, and he's got the package, all beat in a Ford. Still, I'm a Chevy man. But anyway, I think Harvick's got the juice right now.
Third win for him at the Brickyard. Of course, while it might have been somewhat, I don't want to say boring, but at least lack of excitement when it comes to at least the actual racing part of it, he still says that Indianapolis Motor Speedway is special.
The Indianapolis Motor Speedway is a special place, and for me as a kid, this is where I wanted to race. So to be able to have won here a couple times, and especially with these guys last year, to finally be able to get to victory lane with all the fast cars that we've had here and finally put it together was pretty special. So looking forward to another one today with our patriotic Busch Light Ford Mustang, and hopefully this rain stays away.
Do you like Bryson DeChambeau?
No, he gets on my nerves. But the guy, I mean, because he's one of these guys, you'd want to kill him if you were playing a foursome and he was in the group ahead of you, you know, because he just plays so slow. And look, there's the science of golf, and there's maybe some would say overthinking it. And Phil Mickelson's one of those guys. That's what was so cool. Carl and I mentioned it last week or 2 weeks back watching the match with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Tiger. You really see Phil's thought process. It kind of played out on the microphone. And DeChambeau kind of takes it to a whole other level. But you got to give the guy credit. Some people say when you got a great swing, don't mess with the physics of it. Don't bulk up. But he saw guys like, you know, Brooks Koepka and, you know, the Dustin Johnsons who can bomb it a mile. And so now he's got that in his repertoire, and he had some top 10 finishes, and now he finally puts it together and gets the win up in Michigan.
He does get the win over the weekend. Although there was a little bit of a controversy involving him with a cameraman. This is Bryson talking about the fact that he had people somewhat in his business.
There was something that happened. I mean, nothing crazy, but I had a cameraman that was filming me after I hit a bad bunker shot and whiffed the sand a little bit, which shouldn't have done. That was dumb. But at the end of the day, you know, he was literally watching me the whole entire way up, you know, after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green. And I just was like, sir, what is the need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand that, but it's his job to video me. But at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing, you know, a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. I just don't think that's necessarily the right thing to do.
Get over yourself, dude.
Come on,
I mean, like, the guy knows he's got a rep. He plays slow. He's voted one of the players that players on tour at least want to play with because of, you know, how it takes him an hour to line up every shot. But, I mean, come on. Look, first off, there's no gallery. The scoring is lower than ever because idiots like this guy don't have the distraction of people around. You're seeing it. I mean, they're averaging almost 3 strokes per player lower in the, if you watch the, I think it was the top 10 the last couple of tournaments that have been played. But this, come on, dude. You're offering entertainment. They got nothing else. What are they going to shoot? Okay, they're going to shoot a picture of the water? You know, a bird nesting? No, they're going to, you're leading the tournament or you're in the battle for the lead. You're going to show what's going on. It's what they do. So lighten up. Another reason not to like Bryson DeChambeau. First, he's named Bryson. Another rich country club kid bellyaching. Ah, mush.
Plus, I'm also thrown off by the fact that he wears the Kangol all the time. The only person in the world who can pull that off is our guy Jason Longshore. Other than that, I don't like anybody else.
Well, I mean, look, you know, I mean, you know, I know why he wears. I mean, you could argue that he's trying to pay an homage to one of the great players who went before him, Payne Stewart. But he just, I don't know, he's one of those guys. I just don't care for the cut of his jib. Hey, man, we got some football to get into. I know we want to tackle the Redskins. And I guess, Will, when we get into the blitz, the Cam Newton stuff, what Cam had to say has got a lot of people kind of going, what?
Certainly so. The Redskins name change debate has hit a fever pitch. We'll get into that a little bit next. Willie P. in for Carl. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It's Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we get into the Redskins stuff, Mike, I know that, you know, Atlanta United, it's amazing to believe that we are already here for the MLS's back tournament on Wednesday. Of course, Five Stripes get underway on Saturday. A lot of news happened last week, and obviously some news inside MLS. We talked about the COVID testing stuff with the guys earlier, and it wasn't exactly good news either with some of these teams. FC Dallas has a bunch of positives. Carlos Vela is not going to play from LAFC, but our guys seem to be doing all right. One of the two guys, they said that it tested positive, is already back with the team, and Frank DeBoer's got those guys ready to go.
Yeah, what do you think of the roster moves? Is it Cam? The guy, who's the guy we added? Because I heard a lot of people talking about that because I was on vacation, but I saw some people buzzed about the dude we picked up.
Jürgen Damm, the midfielder out of Tigres in Mexico, he will not be able to play for us in Orlando, but he's basically a speedster, wing midfielder kind of guy. The only problem with him is that, you know, the rep on him is he can't cross. So because of that,
so it's like Zoolander. He can't go left. Okay, all right, we'll work on that. We'll see. Frank DeBoer will straighten him out.
Yeah. He's got a good sense of humor about it, though. So if anything, you know, he's young. He's got an ability to possibly make things happen. And again, you know, he's got speed, something you can't teach. Also, we made a homegrown signing with Tyler Wolf. He's a forward, somebody who can help that depleted front side. I'm wondering how they're going to play this out, whether they end up going with the big guy, Adam John, in the middle, or whether they play your guy and my guy, Mateus Hoseto, as what they call a false nine in the middle, and can kind of play Pitti and Barco on the flanks. It's a very, very curious situation, too, with New York coming in, because this is a team, as you know, Mike, that we played a lot in the preseason when we were down in the satellite training at the beginning of the season, but haven't played them in quite a while, and it's a much different-looking side than the one we played last year.
Yeah, my friends that are up in New York to follow them, and they actually do have people to follow them up there, we're saying it's kind of like a down year for them. It's not the same Red Bulls we're used to seeing. Is that fair?
I would say that's correct. And the thing is, you know what they're going to do stylistically, but you don't know how they're going to utilize their parts. Thing about Cincinnati, we beat them earlier in the year, but they got a new manager, and Columbus Crew already have a positive test as well. So still a lot to be kind of siphoned out. And, of course, we'll get into that a little bit more here throughout the week. Tournament starts on Wednesday. Again, Our special Atlanta United coverage begins coming up on Saturday. A big preview show, 5:30 to 7:30, and then the 8 p.m. kickoff for us against New York Red Bulls, all right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike and Jason calling the action. The Washington Redskins, and this was something that happened kind of late Thursday into Friday, Mike. A lot of pressure from FedEx, from Nike, from Pepsi, and some of these other entities, including people inside Daniel Snyder's own ownership group, the people who own about 40% of that stake, all want out because of the fact that they want the Redskins to change their name.
Yeah, we knew this one was going to get some more traction this time around. As you know, we're going through some big changes in this country, you know, and some I think some people are dragging their feet with. I've always been kind of like, I got to be honest, ambivalent about this because it doesn't bother me. I'm not really engaged with it, and I know that some people are very passionate about it, and that's fine. You know, you do you. I've got a good friend of mine who's involved, a guy named Scott Riley, who I used to play golf with all the time, and he does a lot of pro bono work for Native American tribes in New Mexico, and it's a very passionate issue for him. So there's people that have the connection with it, but the Redskins name is obviously certainly more offensive than the Braves or the Chiefs. So you knew this was coming. Snyder's also doesn't make it easy because he's such a tool. But I think even he realizes which way the wind is blowing on this. Don't you get that sense?
I do, but like you said, he's kind of always been somewhat defiant about this. And right. And you know my background. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. I wasn't a Redskin fan, but I had a front seat to his tomfoolery, if you will. And, right. And the problem is that this is a guy who's never really understood the art of PR. Like, this is the same guy who used to charge for training camp parking inside their own team facility. Like, they would charge $10 for people to park at Redskins Park to watch training camp and
right.
other moves that basically do not encourage fan experience. And just the whole experience of being a Redskins fan in Washington, D.C., from spending 3 hours on the Capitol Beltway trying to get to Landover, Maryland, where they play games, and just the fact that the team hasn't won a championship since 91, it's very difficult for really anything positive to happen with that team in that city. And the name has become a part of it. And this the other part of this, too, that I do not want to see, because people are going to probably laud him for actually doing this. He did not do this until it started affecting his and the NFL's right. bottom line. No. And the other part of this, too, is that there's some gain to be had here because they want to move right back into the city because they're playing in Maryland right now, which is very hard to access for a lot of their fan base. If they move back into the city, they can't do that because the D.C. government won't let them in unless they change their name.
Right. And I lived up in D.C. for a couple of years. I got a bunch of friends up there, friends here in Atlanta that lived in D.C. that are big, big Redskins fans. And, you know, I was there. Jack Kent Cooke was there, arguably one yep. of the greatest owners of all time for all sports, basketball, hockey, football. If for younger listeners, look up Jack Kent Cooke. He owned the Lakers back in the day. He's just a legendary, just flamboyant character, but he was a great guy. And in the case of Daniel Snyder, he's all that in reverse. So, yeah, I think, you know, at FedEx, again, they're speaking with their dollars. And for those who are not familiar with it, the stadium is out in the middle of nowhere. And when all these new stadiums are getting built, this is a very basic stadium. I think Falcon fans that have gone up there in the last couple of years when we played them in, like, cross-divisional games, it's not an impressive stadium. There's not a lot of bells and whistles. It's almost like they did it on the cheap, and it looks like it. So, but getting back to the name itself, I mean, I think there's a way, you know, you're just going to get away from the Redskins. You're going to keep the colors, and you're going to change the imagery, and you're going to maybe, as Ron Rivera suggested, maybe embrace something that has something to do with military or, you know, military heritage or history. We'll see where that goes. He told the Washington Post, we want to do this in a positive way. Remember, he's a Mexican Puerto Rican descent, is Ron Rivera. But he said that a new nickname that respects Native American culture and traditions while maybe saluting the military. And for those who don't know, Ron Rivera, former Panthers coach, is a son of an Army officer now with the Skins. So, look, there's a chance. You know, they got the best, potentially the best young dynamic defensive piece, you know, in the league. We're going to see, you know, that's Chase Young. We're going to see what's going to happen with their quarterback. But this is something that's just been happening. Now, as far as the Braves, because I think this opens up that sort of can sure. of worms where everybody gets into, well, why did the Braves have to change? I don't know. I think you take the temperature locally. I think if you want to poll the indigenous people, folks of Cherokee heritage or Native American heritage that live in Georgia, and see what they want to do with it. I don't think, though, we should have had the knee-jerk reaction like we had last year with the Cardinals over the tomahawk chop because of one player on the Cardinals, who a woke person of Cherokee heritage, didn't like it. I thought that was total corporate BS by Liberty Media and the tail wagging the dog. But there, you know, they have a dialogue with it. I mean, I don't know. Is the tomahawk chop offensive to you?
It's not offensive to me at all. I'm not offended by it.
This is the thing. I had this conversation with one of my buddies in my building here. He's a young whippersnapper who graduated Georgia Tech, and I was saying, look, everybody hates the white man these days. I think we'd probably love to embrace the scalping of the white devil, like the chop. I'm being tongue in cheek, by the way, before you send those comments. It's like you are talking about brave as in a warrior. I mean, to me, if you take away some of the connections with that, when do you really think about Native American heritage? Look, if you are an enlightened person who takes your kids to go up to Northern Georgia and go to the heritage centers and all that, but I'm just saying, I mean, it's a slippery slope because I think some people, A, don't really give a crap, and those that do are super passionate about it, almost to the point where they're disproportionately passionate about that when there's a lot more bigger fish to fry in the world. But the Redskins was a name that was easily offensive. Old school fans, that's going to die hard with them, Will. But as you said, it's time for the Redskins name to go. I just think the Braves, that's a whole different animal. You know, the Indians, the smiling chief, Wahoo, they took that off the jersey a couple of years ago, but the name Indians is going to go.
Yeah, and Terry Francona spoke to that either yesterday or sometime over the weekend, and he certainly said some things about that. He thinks that that name should be changed. Have you seen or are you familiar with Vin Scully's Ford C. Frick Award Hall of Fame speech? Because he references an old Indian fable in that, and in that story, while he's retelling it, he refers to the chief's subjects as his young braves. And I've always thought about that, and I thought, you know what? If people heard that, they'd want to, you know, completely get on Vin Scully, which I'm not suggesting that they do.
Right.
But again, that was a different time when that happened. But the name Braves, I don't think that one, in a way, is the same thing as Redskins and Indians. I think it's an honor thing. But the chop, I think I could see, you know, because of what happened last year. I'm not saying I necessarily agree with it, but I wouldn't be surprised if, say, they maybe got rid of the chant and they got rid of some of the other things, the other references to that.
Well, I mean, it's something that, you know, first off, the heritage, it's not like something that has been going along, you know, all the way back to the Boston Braves or the Milwaukee Braves. It's something that came back, and Braves fans know this. And when Deion was in the outfield, a lot of Florida State fans started it. Florida State's got a whole different animal because they're involved with the, at least the last time that they put it to a vote, the Seminole Nation was cool with them using the name Seminole. And they actually have a student who is part Native American. That's part of the deal, who represents and dresses up as Chief Osceola. When you watch the pregame at Florida State, they have a horse, painted horse, Renegade, that comes out. They plant the flaming spear. And as I said, it's more about woke millennials than Native Americans that are upset with it in the past, but they've been able to, again, get the blessing of the Seminole Nation. They like the branding for everything from the casino business to other interests. But with the Braves, I don't know, because as we said earlier, you're talking about Liberty Media. You know, I mean, are they going to be too politically correct on this? They know they're going to, look, you're going to alienate your fans. And how many people are really upset about this? What do Native Americans feel? Because shouldn't it be about the people that would be offended? I don't know.
Correct.
I mean, like I said, I don't want to, like, as I said to start this conversation, it doesn't bother me because I have no connection to it. And I don't want to be insensitive to people who are offended by it, but it just doesn't resonate with me. And I don't think it resonates with a lot of Braves fans.
Yeah, and you and I think, are identifiable in the way that you and I both think, because I don't think that you or I are very easily offended by anything. So because of that, we're probably not the right people to ask. But like you said, you have to kind of go to the source. And if it comes out that there is an appetite for those in the Native American community that want these names to change, then I think you have to listen. But at the same time, I think the Redskins one is so singularly bad that in a way it's like I'm surprised it hasn't already happened. Like that's kind of where I'm at with that whole thing. The Braves and the Tomahawk and the Indians name – those, I think, are a little bit of a different debate, but I do think the Redskins one, that one's long overdue.
So we'll see where it goes. You know, obviously, these are different times. There's things that are changing with a good reason. I just don't know with the Braves, because I know certainly when we asked listeners, excuse me, like we talked about it last year when the whole series with the Cardinals went down, and a lot of people were saying it was ridiculous. I just didn't like the time. Like, if you want to have this discussion and you want to table this and you want to have a big hoot, you know, you want to bring in folks that have something to say about this and are passionate, that's one thing. But to sit there and kowtow to a player for the other team in the middle of a playoff, that to me was chicken blank by the Braves. But we'll see where it goes, because things are changing.
I saw in the morning show they were doing they were saying maybe Atlanta Brave and switch the Tomahawk to like a fireman's axe and do it like that. That's not a terrible idea.
Well, the Redskins, like I said, I don't know where they're going to come up with the name. I presume they'll have some kind of contest with it. But,
Let's just hope it's not the person who ran the bullets to war, to Wizards change, because that was it. That was bad.
Yeah, man. I love the – again, when you were the murder capital of America, you had to get away from the bullets, but the bullets is just a better name than the Wizards. Just is.
NFL Blitz coming up next. The NFL, who fines for basically everything, could have a new fine on their hands. We'll tell you about it next. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Dukes and Pell, Willie P. and for Carl.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.